भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll chant verses 6 to 10, chapter 4. अजो विसन्नव्ययात्मा अजो विसन्नव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामधिष्ठाय प्रकृतिं स्वामधिष्ठाय सम्भवाम्यात्ममायया सम्भवाम्यात्ममायया। अजो विसन्नव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोऽपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामधिष्ठाय सम्भवाम्यात्ममायया। यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानमधर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधूनां परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम् विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम् धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय सम्भवामि युगे युगे सम्भवामि युगे युगे। परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम् धर्मसंस्थापनार्थाय सम्भवामि युगे युगे। जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम् जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम् एवं यो वेदि तत्त्वतः एवं यो वेदि तत्त्वतः त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन। जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम् एवं यो वेदि तत्त्वतः त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन। वीतरागभयक्रोधा वीतरागभयक्रोधा मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः बहवो ज्ञानतपसा बहवो ज्ञानतपसा पूतामद्भावमागताः पूतामद्भावमागताः। वीतरागभयक्रोधा मन्मया मामुपाश्रिताः बहवो ज्ञानतपसा पूतामद्भावमागताः। Whenever there is decline in dharma, rise in adharma, I manifest myself for the protection of the virtuous, destruction of the wicked, and for establishment of dharma. This is what Lord Krishna said in verse 7 and 8. These are very famous verses, oft quoted verses. In fact, everybody almost knows this verse, these verses. यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य व्हेनेवर धर्म ग्लानिर् भवति भारत डिक्लाइन्स अभ्युत्थानम् अधर्मस्य एंड अधर्म राइजेस तदात्मानं सृजामि अहम् आई मैनिफेस्ट माय सेल्फ। परित्राणाय साधूनां फॉर द प्रोटेक्शन ऑफ द साधु मीनिंग राइजेस पीपल एंड धार्मिक पीपल। विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम् फॉर डिस्ट्रक्शन ऑफ ईवल अधार्मिक अनरिचेस। धर्म संस्था धर्म संस्था प्रधानता मीनिंग टू एस्टैब्लिश राइचियसनेस इज हाउ इज व्हाई आई एम बॉर्न अगेन एंड अगेन इज दिस संभवामी युगे युगे। बेसिकली व्हाट ही इज सेइंग इन दिस पोर्शन 6, 7, 8 इफ यू सी is that a Mahatma, one who has gone to the Atma level, beyond the body, one who has gone deep into his core personality, the essential being, Atma, he knows how by kind of hypnosis we have imagined ourselves to be what we are not. It is not as though you are body now and you will be Atma tomorrow. You were Atma once upon a time and you become the body. It is by constant association, by hypnotizing yourself, you have become this body. Wave has hypnotized itself to believe that it is wave, but it is essentially the ocean. So the difference between a Mahatma and an ordinary being is this, that ordinary being doesn't know this truth. He is in a state of hypnosis and he doesn't know. A Mahatma is one who has freed himself from the state of hypnosis and he knows. But he is somebody who is beyond the body and he is Atma. It is by my attachment, my association, my foolishness, I have been thinking myself to be this limited individual. In other words, you have infinite potential within you. But from childhood, people have given certain beliefs which you have accepted blindly. And if you go deeply inside you, these beliefs are restricting you. Today you don't know that. Today in fact you do not want to question those beliefs. You are so scared of questioning those beliefs. But those beliefs could be you are a woman, therefore your capacity is only this much. Right? You are a man, so you can do this. Etc. etc. Many different ways, many different people have different belief systems. But if you see how each one functions is, according to their belief system, they are restricted. This is me accepting those belief systems blindly. And once I start questioning, then I say, no, what is this belief? You know, if I was not told. In fact, there is a story about a marathon race that was held in Australia between, I think, Melbourne and Sydney. So many kilometers, you know. And all those people who participated, many of them, reached the distance in certain days. There was one guy who was not a professional runner or somebody, but he reached faster than them. Very few days it took. They asked him, how was that possible for him? He said, I just started running. I didn't take any, rest for so many hours, etc. Whereas the other guys, they had belief system that if they run for some 12 hours or so, they had to rest for so many hours. This is their belief system. So they were doing it. He didn't know about it. Right? So he continued to run. In other words, what we learn from this story is that the belief system, you've been told, and once you've accepted the belief system, then you are restricted by that. So this is what Krishna is saying in a way, to understand this in a much simpler way, I'm putting it here, verse 6. This divine birth is not known to ordinary beings. They have hypnotized themselves to believe that they are the limited people. But I who has gone beyond, meaning whosoever has gone beyond, he also acts in the world. He is not having any motive now, like everybody else has been. When a person is thinking himself to be limited, there is always struggle and strife in him or her to find happiness. So all his actions or her actions are only to find fulfillment or happiness. So whatever they do, whether they do selfish activities or unselfish activities, they do it with a motive of finding that fulfillment. Somebody who has gone beyond this and who has understood himself or herself to be, in essence, limitless, infinite, he or she cannot have a motive. But since because they do not have a motive, doesn't mean that they do not act. This is what we explained last week also. It is not as though they will not act. In the earlier case, everybody acts to find fulfillment or happiness. That is their motive. In the later stage, when they have reached the Atma within, when they have reached the state which Krishna had reached, Buddha had reached, or Mahavira had reached, whosoever reaches that stage, they also act, but they will not act anymore to find fulfillment. They will be acting out of fulfillment. So here, to explain this, we said, merely because somebody goes towards good, it is not necessary that they are righteous. They want to be spiritual center. But when you go to the spiritual center, you will be towards the righteous direction. I gave the example of social worker. I am not saying all social workers are like this, but I am just giving this example to explain it to you. You are doing social work, let us say providing blankets to the people who are suffering in winters here, who do not have anything, any shelter, nothing. Now supposing you, like people like you, have provided enough blankets. In fact, people have now, each fellow has 5 more, let us say. That much they have got. Now nobody comes to social take from you. Now what happens is you start feeling uncomfortable. Why? You were finding fulfillment in doing that social work. Now when there is no opportunity for you to give blankets, now suddenly you feel uncomfortable because you are not able to find fulfillment. Are you with me? Whereas the other case, who has reached the Atma, he also would be tending towards actions. Whatever he does will be with the social awareness, which is what is essentially true social services or true social workers. So where, if there is nobody to take, wherever else there is a need and somebody is there to take, and in that area if there is something that he could contribute or she could contribute, they will be doing. So when a person is full is when that person can truly do service. Please understand this. Who is capable of doing service? Who is capable of giving? Somebody who is full is only capable of doing service. Somebody who is full is only capable of giving. Not somebody who is unfulfilled, dissatisfied in life. Then their service would be to find satisfaction. That is not true service. Are you with me? So therefore we said, simply because you go towards good doesn't necessarily mean you go spiritual, but when you go spiritual, you would be naturally functioning in the area of good. This is where we explained before that whenever there is ignorance, that is when you fall into negativity. With awareness, you can't fall into negativity. With awareness, you cannot over it. When I say over it, you will not take more than what is necessary for you. Like Oliver Goldsmith says, nakedness of this world can be clad with the trimmings of the veil. Nakedness of this world can be clad with the trimmings of the veil. You, due to ignorance and darkness and limitation that you feel within, hoard. So few people hoard and many people don't have anything, naked. When you are not suffering from ignorance, on the contrary, you have knowledge, awareness, and you feel infinite, knowing that you are infinite, you will not be taking more than what is necessary. So, in the very first place, due to your ignorance and dissatisfaction and limitation, you have actually been directly or indirectly the cause for the other suffering. And then outwardly you are going and trying to help the people who are suffering. In fact, the real solution comes the moment you stop taking what is more than needed for you. Like Mahaprabhu says, there is enough to cater to the needs of the people in the world, but not to the greed. So this is what he is in a way saying. Whenever a person has reached that core inside, he would naturally be functioning with awareness. When he or she functions with awareness, they would be supporting the righteousness only. Not supporting, they would be righteous. It is impossible to go towards the negative. All negatives, like for example, you cannot get angry consciously with awareness. It's impossible. Only when you, that is why later on you say, my God, how did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. Right? So that means at that time when you did, your desires which manifested due to your sense of limitation has taken over it. You are not in a state of awareness. Nobody does any crime, any wrong thing in a state of awareness. It is impossible. We gave this example many times, I'm giving once more in the context. That is, negative greed in darkness. Negative greed in So those who have fallen into the pit unconsciously, and those who go into the pit to help them, to bring them out consciously, there are two different categories. People like Krishna, Mahavir, Buddha, they are all people who get down consciously. Go into consciously, come down consciously. This coming down consciously is called avatara. This is all Krishna is talking about here. So it is not as though whenever there is a problem, Krishna will be reborn. What he is saying is, any time anybody goes into the level of Atma, he will be coming down to our level and would be helping to increase the righteousness. That's all he is saying. So when he said paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma santapanataya, I said dharma is stronger than adharma. Dharma doesn't require any help from anybody else to save itself. So dharma cannot be overpowered by adharma, number one. It is impossible. To explain this, I get the example of Harishchandra. Harishchandra could never be made to speak a lie. Any amount of temptations, any amount of threat could not make him swerve from the path of Dharma. Because he is Dharma, he is established in Dharma. Dharma is strong. If you are able to be influenced to do something dharmic, then you were not dharmic in the very first place. It is impossible. You were probably pretending to be dharmic. That is one possibility. The other possibility is, you have been forced to be in dharma. You are not in dharma lovingly. So when he says, I come and establish dharma by protecting dharma and destroying adharma, Another point they made, adharma destruction does not mean destroying the people who follow adharma. By destroying the people, you are only destroying the flesh and bones, not the nature. Energy can neither be created nor be destroyed. By destroying the flesh and bone, the energy inside, the nature inside is going to manifest again. So you have not actually solved the problem, you have postponed the problem. Yes or no? Temporarily you postpone it. This is what we also do. You get angry. So what do? You don't manifest the anger. Swallow. Like that, so many times you are swallowing your anger. All those is gone inside you, it is there in your subconscious. All that you swallowed, small doses of poison, are gone deep into your subconscious. They are all there waiting to blow one day. Some small mistake your child does, or your servant does, or somebody on the road, slight scratch and your car did it. Something like that. All the poisons that got accumulated inside you comes out. So when he says destruction of dharma, he's not talking about destroying the people who are, sorry, destruction of adharma, he's not talking about people who are adharmic will be destroyed. People who are being adharmic, or people who are pretending to be dharmic, or people who are forced to be in dharma, they are in dharma because they have to, not they love to. All those people would be helped by living and any other methods possible. The value of dharma will be explained through personal example and many other ways, and they will all be converted towards dharma. So from have to follow dharma, they would take up the value of dharma, and they love to follow dharma. This is what is the true destruction of adharma. So dharmic people will be protected means those people who are understanding the value of dharma and trying to live, but they are still not established. Before establishing, they can be what? Again taken away towards adharma. She fractured her legs few weeks ago. Now probably doctor said you can go. Right? But till that time, she probably knew in bedrest or whatever. Exactly, another example I give is when a lady is pregnant, the first few months are very important. After that, the pregnancy cannot be averted. But that few days, few months, very careful. Similarly, when you are trying to go towards dharma, there is a possibility that you can be attracted towards adharma. So Krishna says, all those people who have gone deep inside, they will be like protection to the people to move towards dharma, and all the other people who are negative would also be converted to dharma through his efforts. That's all he will do. So paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanaya. Thus the value of dharma will be established. Value of dharma is not an object for it to be established. Dharma is something that people, by following it, establish dharma. By not following it, they take away dharma from the society. So converting people from have to love to, you establish dharma. This is what he said in 7 days. Now verse number 9.
జన్మ కర్మ చ మే దివ్యం జన్మ కర్మ చ మే దివ్యం ఏవం యోవేతి తత్వతః ఏవం యోవేతి తత్వతః త్యక్త్వా దేహం పునర్జన్మ త్యక్త్వా దేహం పునర్జన్మ నైతి మామేతి సోర్జున నైతి మామేతి సోర్జున జన్మ కర్మ చ మే దివ్యం ఏవం యోవేతి తత్వతః త్యక్త్వా దేహం పునర్జన్మ నైతి మామేతి సోర్జున హీ హు నోస్ దస్ మై డివైన్ బర్త్ మై డివైన్ బర్త్ డస్ నాట్ మీన్ ఓన్లీ మిస్టర్ కృష్ణాస్ బర్త్ ఇస్ డివైన్ బర్త్ ఎవ్రీబడి ఎల్సెస్ బర్త్ ఇస్ ఆల్ నాట్ సో డివైన్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ వే మై డివైన్ బర్త్ మీన్స్ హీ హూ అండర్స్టాండ్ హిస్ ఓన్ బర్త్ టు బీ rooted in divinity. It is due to hypnosis of oneself that one has come to this stage of birth by me attaching towards the person or object. I have become that. And see, for example, before you met that person, or before you got married to that person, you didn't even know about that person. Even at that time, that person was suffering many times from some fever or something or the other. But you didn't know about it. You had not attached yourself to that person because you didn't know about that person first of all. You didn't even know such a person was existing. But now that you got married to that person, or you met that person, and you now started mentally getting attached to that person, are you with me? Now when that person goes through some physical ailment, let's say there is a threat for that person's body, or the worst thing also might have happened, that the person also left the body, let us say. You suddenly start grieving now. Why? Earlier when you didn't know about that fellow, so many people whom you do not know also died. It doesn't bring any grief to you. But here, why does it bring grief? Now what has happened is, you have attached yourself to that person. So when that person dies, you feel a part of you has been taken away from you. Are you with me? A portion of you has been taken away. You have not bought the car yet. The car is still in the showroom. You have chosen the car until and unless you paid the money for the car and you take a delivery, it's not yours. You take delivery and come out, then it happens. A portion of you has been taken away. Or a portion of you has been dented. So you suffer. So why do you actually suffer? Due to your attachment. Nothing else. This is what even Lord Krishna explained in the second chapter. So why I am mentioning it here is, he says, he who, having known the divine birth, the secret of birth, how it is manifested, how you have manifested in the body, by you attaching to the body. Supposing, just imagine this, you are born in an island. As soon as you were born, your parents died and everybody else died. Nobody exists in the planet, in that island, let us say. Would you even know that you will die one day? Similarly, from the time you are born, you are being conditioned by people around you with reference to your body. Oh, you put on weight. Oh, you lost weight. Your hair is still grey. Oh, you are looking old. In other words, you have been constantly bombarded with this thought that you are the body of the body. You have also now hypnotized yourself that you are the body. What do you mean? So he who knows the divine birth and how the action manifests through that, how the karma bandha happens through that, he abandons the body. Abandons the body does not mean he will not take care of the body. Allows hair to grow endlessly, doesn't even brush his teeth, etc., etc. It is not like that. Abandons the body means now he is not attached to the body. The earlier one that I said is easy actually. Less expense. You don't have to buy the shaving blades and all that. You understand? It's probably more economical for you. More back balance you have. That's about it. It's probably easier. But this is difficult. Once I attach myself to the body, then this body came from my parents' body. So my attachment is with them also. Then from the very same parents, few other bodies had come, my brothers and sisters, to them also I am attached. Then from my body, few children have come. Then my parents, brothers and sisters, etc., etc., all attachment. So with the greater the attachment, every time somebody dies, every time somebody goes through something, you feel as if you have been harmed. A portion of it has been taken away from you. So when he says, when he says that, he who knows is not that he studied verse number 9 of 6, 7, 8, 9 of chapter 4, now he knows. He who knows in essence, tatvataha, all the time he has this perception. See, perception matters. How you perceive yourself? The moment you perceive yourself limited, you will function accordingly. Again, the example of a fellow traveling in the train, and here it was very quiet and all that. Suddenly, another gentleman got into the train at a particular station with two of his sons. And the sons were running around and they were making a lot of noise. Right? And this fellow asked, "Hey, are they your children?" He said, "Yes." "Why don't you tell them to keep quiet? It was so quiet. And suddenly so much noise." He said, "Yes, in fact, I've been thinking whether to tell them to keep quiet or let them be, because he's just coming from their mother's funeral, that is my wife's funeral." Immediately this fellow said, "No, let them be." Before, his angle of looking was different. He didn't have the data and he was looking differently. He was disturbed. Even though the noise is there, but he is not disturbed anymore. Perception. This is what he is saying here. He who knows in essence the divine birth and how karma has come about from that. He abandons the body. A lot of people are chaktva deham. Abandon the body. People are torturing their body. Abandoning means, I should not give body any water. I should not give body any food. Abandoning is not frustrating the body. Abandoning is not fighting with the body. Excuse me, fighting with body is easy. In fact, by fighting with body, ego is still retained. In fact, ego becomes much stronger. That is why, if you see, I want to accomplish something. Till I accomplish, I will go through fasting on those days. There's a connection. You understand? You say, oh, till I get that done, I will not eat on so-and-so days. So-and-so days. Ego becomes more solid. By abandoning the body means he is talking about becoming free from ego. But the so-called abandoning that people are doing, their ego is becoming much thicker. This is my point. By misunderstanding. So, tyaktva deham means thereafter they are not body centered. In our case, we are body centered. Everything we do is body centered. Body centered, I have already explained to you. Children, parents. Beyond that, we can't see. This is body centered. So, chattva deham, abandoning body, rising beyond body, rising above the body. Punarjanma na iti mameti sojana. Is not born again. He comes to me, O Arjuna. Why are you born? By constantly hypnotizing yourself to be the body, and you think now you are the body. Everything, your thoughts and everything is filled with body. So when you leave the body, your thoughts are tied to the body. The thoughts require another body. It goes on taking more and more births. So when you mentally detach from it through knowledge, then such a person, when he dies or she dies, there is no attachment to the body. There are no thoughts of body or anything. In fact, in the 8th chapter you will talk about it. Last thought, what you have, will determine your next birth. Last thought meaning the sum total of all your thoughts. Suddenly last thought cannot be of Narayana. You understand? If all your life you keep thinking about Lakshmi, last thought will be Narayana. Impossible. Right? Maybe of Narayana who owes you some money. You understand? It is definitely not of that Lord Narayana. So, the thought association attachment, the thoughts are the seeds that make you take birth again and again. You go to a place, you do whatever you have to do there, and you come back with no thoughts, you may not go back to that place. But you go there, then they say, last minute when you are about to board the flight, "Acha, you didn't go to these places? What for then you came here? At first, those places are the most important places." Now you develop desires to come back to that place again. Therefore, you will be going back to that place again. So what makes you take birth is your vasanas, your desires, your thoughts. Read me. It is not your place of living or body in which you are living that restricts you. It is your attachment to that place of living. It is your attachment to the body that restricts you. And since you are having such thoughts of body, thoughts of relationships, thoughts of this and that, you are continuously being circulated into birth and death, samsara. So when such vasanas are not there, there is no more rebirth. Where will you be born next after we complete this class today depends upon the next vasanas.
You are born here in this house today to attend the session because your father has to study Gita. You understand? If you did not have any vasana, there is no going or coming business. That's all. There are so many people going from India to America. There are so many people coming from America to India. Vasana is shifting us from one place to another, from one body to another. But somebody who has gone beyond the vasana, somebody who has gone beyond the thoughts, there is no place for him to go or come. So he says, having crossed the body, thereafter there is no more birth. In fact, a lot of people have misunderstood this concept of moksha. For them, in fact, they say, what is that you want? I want moksha. So you really ask them, what the word you use moksha? Deep inside, if you go, their concept of moksha is they will be taken to heaven where there will be 24 hours, 365 days enjoyment. This is their idea of moksha. You tell them, no, Baba, I said Krishna, moksha means you will not be born again. I don't want moksha. But this is what moksha is. So remember this. Everything is ulta for us. We pray to God, save me from death. A person who really understands life, he will pray to God, save me from birth. You pray to God, save me from enemies. He will pray, please save me from friends. You will pray, please save me from difficult situations. He will pray, please save me from good situations. You will say pain should not be there. You will say pleasure. Don't be so careful. You understand? Ulta. We think eternally we will be living with a group of people with all sorts of enjoyments. That is all we want. Basically, you are trying to say, I want to live permanently. Yes, what is that? If you have desire to live permanently, anything that is born will have to die. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu dhruvam janma vrtasya cha. You remember this verse? Read it in chapter 27 or 28. We did this verse. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu dhruvam janma vrtasya. That which is born will have to die, and that which died will be reborn. Basically, you want to live eternally. If you want to live eternally, you have to rise beyond the body. But people do not know this. They are attached to the body. On one side they want to live permanently, on the other side they are attached to the body. So Mahatmas are coming and telling, excuse me, you want to live eternally, then you have to rise above the body. That one gentleman was asking me, why is it that Vedanta is saying that you should attain moksha, you should not be born again, you should aspire for that? I said, Vedanta doesn't tell you you should aspire for moksha. Vedanta says you are actually aspiring for moksha, you do not want to be born again. Vedanta is telling you how to make it possible. He said, where am I aspiring to be, not to be born again? In fact, I love to be born again. Nothing wrong with this world. Then I have to explain to him. But it is not easy unless you are really asking questions to listen. Many people ask questions not to listen. Then you can explain to them. But fortunately, that man was asking to listen. So this is the not here. You want to live eternally, not want to die. Nobody wants to die. Even a person who is about to commit suicide, you give him some hope, he will say, no, I am not dying. You understand? He is dying with the hope that he will get a better life next time.
If you can give that hope, in this Janma itself, he will stop taking this step. So nobody wants to die. So when you say, I don't want to die, you are aspiring for moksha. But if you are actually aspiring for moksha, you should also understand that that which has a birth will happen. So you have to go beyond birth. If you have to go beyond birth, you have to gain this knowledge. So he says, he who knows this divine birth of mine, my divine birth, in essence, having abandoned the body, he is not born again. Tyaktva deham should be understood correctly. A lot of people, in the name of Tyaktva deham, in the name of Bhagavad Gita, in the name of practicing religion, torturing their body because I am abandoning the body. The more a fellow is fasting, the more spiritual is considered to be. You are spiritual, immediately you look at the fellow's feet. Actually, you are very chappal. How can you be spiritual? Spiritual means you should be walking on thorns or you should be bleeding. You know, all sorts of ideas we have. Somebody who denies is taken to be spiritual. Krishna never was a person who was denying. In fact, he was anything. If at all you can accuse him, you can accuse him of overdose. You understand? He never had limited at all in anything. All unlimited. All the time. And he is talking about Tyaktva Deham. So people think he is an hypocrite. He is not a hypocrite. We are hypocrites. He is clearly saying, in fact, the fellow who enjoys this body is only one who has renounced this body. One who is attached to this body never enjoys. Attached fellow never enjoys anything. You go to a hotel. The carpet which is there in the hotel, walk 10 times on it with your dirty chappal. You have no problem. You come back home. If somebody walks on the carpet, you feel terrified. As if Yamaraja has come, you know, already to take away your life. Because you are attached, you don't enjoy. Your attachment, your possessiveness makes you suffer. It takes away the enjoyment from you. So if you really want to enjoy your possessions, if you really want to enjoy whatever you have, you need to remove the possessiveness. You need to remove the attachment. This is what it means. Possessions could drop na thoda easy. But possessiveness ko drop karna bahut mushkil hai. So abandoning the body in the sense of not feeding the body, not taking care of the body is relatively easy. In fact, that will get you more following. If you really understand the psychology, it will get you more following. What a spiritual person. Because he doesn't own anything, meaning no house in his name, no car, no chapel also, he'll be walking only, you know, very, 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 he doesn't have, he must be highly spiritual. In other words, your concept of spirituality has been so much ruined that you take to another extreme. Tyaktva deham punar janma na iti mameti sochana. That person does not have punar janma. He lives eternally.
he has no death. That's what it means. Punarjanma does not, is not there means what? He has no death. He has no death means what? Death doesn't frighten him anymore. All fears, the underlying fear is what? Death. Underlining fear of all fears, if you go deeply, is fear of death. I will be destroyed. So you cannot really overcome the fear of anything else unless you have overcome the underlining fear, which is fear of death. So while living, we are living with fear of death. So are we really living? Whereas people like Krishna who abandoned the body, having understood the secret of death, birth does, they are not living with fear of death. Are they living or we are living? We are existing with the thought of death. Maybe 100 years. They may be lived only 30 years, 50 years. Vivekananda ji said that lived for 39 years, right? Ramtita lived only 32 years. I think even Adi Shankara lived only for 32 years. But in these 32 years, they lived their life totally. But we live our life with the fear of death constantly. So we are not actually living, we are existing. So that is why in the Kema Upanishad he says, Iha cheda veti tata satya masti. Na chediha veti mahati vinashti. There will be supreme, most great loss. You are not living according to Vedas. Hacheda veti tata satyam. You live the life of satyam. Nachediha veti mahati vinashti. Knowing this, if you live the life of satyam. Meaning, you live. So, life of satyam means you live. Nachediha veti. Without knowing this, if you live. Mahati vinashti. Though living, you are not living. Bhuteshu bhuteshu jitya dhira pretyasma loka kandrata bhakti. Very, very of all the people, you find one fellow who understands this and crosses over this. So Vedanta is not talking about attaining moksha which is after death. It is talking about attaining moksha which puts life into your life. Remember this. If you remember this, if you understand this correctly, then at a very young age itself you will be prompted to take up Vedanta. Because you have to live your life totally. Oh yeah, don't go to these fellows, yeah, they'll tell you no, you know, they'll take you away from this, they'll take you away from that. They think you will not be allowed to live your life totally. Who said that? In fact, the Vedantin would only be able to live life totally. So what is Vedanta? If somebody asks you, you say, living life totally is Vedanta. If you really understand Vedanta like this, we will not be able to hold classes in these kind of places. We will have to hold it in big auditoriums. Now in auditoriums, nobody will be in there. Because they all built up understanding. If you conduct yajna, they will come. Yajna means some fire worship or other, because when they participate, their desire will be fulfilled, then more people will come. It's a different matter. So, tyaktva dekham punarjanma na iti mameti sojana. Arjuna, understand, he is not born again. So, born again means here Krishna is saying, you live your life totally when you understand it. Then you become free from the thraldom of death. Then you will tell Lord Yama, please come whenever you want. Be my guest.
You are Nachiketa told Yama, right? He is telling Lord Yama, don't waste my time. But Lord Yama said, you know, when the third boon he asked Nachiketa in Kathopanishad for Atma Vidya, Yama said, hey, why you want Atma Vidya so early in your life? Huh? You're so young. All this wealth is there, this enjoyment is there, all for you. Take it, I'll give it to you free. He turns towards Yama and says, excuse me, I have no time. If you want to waste my time, don't not please tell me don't. I'll go to somebody else. I'll go to somebody else. But don't waste my time. So Tyaktva Deham, meaning be a trustee to your body, not an owner of the body. Body means any possession. Trustee enjoys it. He will take care of it. When you are a trustee of something, you are supposed to be taking care of it. You are given that to take care of it, isn't it? A trust is formed with a agenda to be fulfilled. This is the idea of the trust. So you say, okay, this person, few people are chosen as trustees because you believe that they will fulfill the points of the trust for which it is essentially started. Similarly, when he says Tyaktva Deham, you be a trustee and not an owner. Whenever you are a trustee, you enjoy. Whenever you are an owner, you suffer. So why are you suffering? You are not suffering because of the possession. You are suffering because of the attitude of ownership. Even for example, if you have ownership attitude, you will have stress. If you have a trusteeship attitude, no stress. In any relationship, in any possession, what attitude you should have? So Tyaktva Deham means trusteeship attitude. The body is expressing itself through, Atma is expressing itself through this body. You take care of that body. Give it what its due is. You are neither running away from the body, nor are you running towards the body. A fellow who is running towards the body and the fellow who is running away from the body, both are having one thing in common. What is that?
Attachment.
Both are body centered.
Identification with the
body. One is centrifugal force, other one is centripetal. But both are, I am just giving an example, but please understand what I am saying. What I am saying is, both are body centered. When you do not want to do anything with money, you don't want to do anything with money, I want to touch money. You land in a particular city, your aircraft has landed. First you will send a few of your disciples, go out and see if there is money here. If there is money here, then I don't want to step into that land, step on that land. So what are you all the time thinking in your mind?
Money.
So you are Chintamani. Right? So in other words, money, when you run away or run after, you are money centered. So Tyaktva Deham means not being body centered. A lot of people running away from body still remain body centered. The whole thing has become one. He is only saying don't be body centered.
rise above that. Like Swami Ramakrishna says, your home should be the center and not a boundary. So when body centered means body becomes the boundary. The way I am using the term. These are all very, very potent verses. If you really understand the depth of it, it's very inspiring. So then he comes to me. Comes to me means he has reached the depth. Having reached the depth. See, in other words, we are somewhere down the line, we get stuck. Somewhere you will attach. In the sense, you may say, I am not going to be attached to my children, I am not going to get attached to my house. Then you go to an ashram, you may get attached to an ashram. Or you can get attached to Guru. Or you will get attached to the scriptures. In fact, these attachments can be even more binding. In fact, in the Isavasa Upanishad, he says this. Those who are attached to the world are in bondage. Those who are attached to spirituality are in stronger bondage. Okay. This is one sort of bondage, that is even worse bondage. Because mind wants some bondage. Mind is actually a very important thing. It requires, it wants to, it has to have something to feel strong. The moment that is taken away, the mind is gone. It cannot exist. A weak fellow is dependent, isn't it? If there are no competitors, you don't have enthusiasm to do business only. Your competitor keeps you on the toe, makes the business more interesting for you. Do you really do business even if there is no competitors? Then your enthusiasm and interest is coming from deep inside. So, tyaktva deham, I'm spending so much time on that because you need to understand the real thing. Attractions are stopping you, you have to go beyond those attractions. As you cross one attraction to another, that can become a stumbling block. Each and every attraction, you have to slowly, slowly rise. Body here can mean gross body, it can mean subtle body, it can mean causal body. You, meaning, anything you need to rise above. You cannot get stuck. In other words, a person or an object can become a stumbling stone, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. Many of us are only using it as a stumbling block. For us, many things are not stepping stones. We get attached. So spent about 25 years in this attachment, the next 25 years in that attachment, the next 25 years in this attachment, then finally you die. All along, something or the other you get attached. You gave up 10 silver coins, now you got attached to one gold coin, Guru. My Vedanta class, my Guru, the way he taught, he only knows, as if nobody else doesn't know. You understand? So, in other words, you get attached. Tyaktva. So, tell yourself, I have to rise above and not get stuck. Next verse. Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upashrita మన్మయామాపాశ్రుతాః బహవో జ్ఞానతపసః పూతామద్భావమాగతాః వీతరాగభయక్రోధాః మన్మయామాపాశ్రుతాః బహవో జ్ఞానతపసః పూతామద్భావమాగతాః వీతరాగభయక్రోధాః freed from desire, fear and anger, absorbed in me, taking refuge in me, purified by the fire of knowledge, many have attained my being. Many have attained my being means what? You also have the potential. Arjuna, you also have the potential to go deep. In fact, this is the main job of Guru. A teacher is supposed to instill the confidence in the child. All other teaching is next. Secondly, if the child has confidence, the child will somehow get educated in the other things. If the child gets educated in the other things but lacks confidence, then the child is finished. Child will continue to be alive. The Guru is supposed to make the child understand the infinite potential lying within. But what do? 50 marks. So he says, he is only capable of 50 marks. Plus or minus 2. 48 to 52 is his range. The teacher, I am saying, if there are some teachers, I am not saying all teachers, if there are some teachers who are saying this to the child, the parents or anybody for the matter, then the child starts thinking that the child is only capable of 48 to 52. Not understanding that the child has confidence to, the potential to score more. So what does the child think? I am only 48. So if the child by mistake scores 60 in something, not by mistake, by chance in something, then the child thinks, how is it that I scored 60, I am only capable of 52? So like a thermostat adjusts itself, brings you 52 next time. Even if the child performs badly and scores 35, still there is no, I am capable of 48, and back to 48. Are you with me? So, the teacher is supposed to instill the belief in the child that it is not finite, it is infinite potential that the child has. When you score 52, it doesn't mean that your level is 52. Your level is much, much beyond. So here Arjuna is being told by Lord Krishna, many have attained my being, meaning Arjuna, you also have that infinite potential within you. You also have the potential to attain that. A lot of people say, for us who are all living in this world now, is it possible, sir? You are all great partners. We are all ordinary people. People keep on talking like this, isn't it? I am not able to say that in Hindi, but when they say that in Hindi to me, I understand. Ordinary, what do you say? Ordinary?
Sadharan,
something like that, right? Nothing like that. You, basically what has happened is, you have not understood your infinite potential. Many have attained my being, Arjuna. Freed from desire. How? Freed from desire. Freeing from fear, freeing from anger, freeing from all these limitations they have attained. What limits you is your fear. What limits you is your anger. What limits you is your desire. And where are they? Where is your anger? In your uncle? Where is your fear? In your mother-in-law? Where is your desire? In the object? This desire, fear, anger, all that Lord Krishna mentioned, where are they?
Within
you. What is preventing you from reaching the potential? Your own mind.
No, mind.
Your desires, fear, anger. This is what Krishna is saying. But what are you thinking? This place, Delhi, doesn't allow me to come up in life. I want to get out of Delhi. If I get out of Delhi, and if I go to Canada, I will somehow come up in life. How will you come up in life? What is restricting you here is your desires, your fears and angers. You are carrying them with you in the flight when you go to Canada. Having gone there, these things that are restricting you, since you are keeping it within you, you would still continue to be restricted there as well. See, read the words of the yogis like this. Free from desire, fear, anger. Now, you have to ask the question, where are they for me to become free? Is it outside or inside? Number one. Number two, many have reached my being. So that means you also have the potential to free yourself. So do I have to free myself with the help of somebody else? What is that something else that is needed to free myself? Knowledge is it. You understand the verse now? Free yourself from desire, fear, anger. How? Absorbing in me, taking refuge in me, being purified by the fire of knowledge, many have attained my being. But what is this desire? What is desire?
A thought which comes in the mind. To possess something, to attain something. It could be an object, it could be a goal, it could be a desire.
Stream of thoughts from you to the object to find fulfillment which has risen due to the sense of limitation felt within, which has risen due to the ignorance of the true nature. Stream of thought from you to the object outside, which has risen due to the ignorance of your true nature, which causes the sense of limitation. Ignorance of your true nature causes the sense of limitation, and that sense of limitation becomes the reason for your thoughts to run towards the world outside to find fulfillment. This is desire. Stream. Ignorance of the self gives rise to a sense of limitation due to which your thoughts run towards the world outside, which is desire. And it is running outside to find fulfillment, to deal with that sense of limitation. So if you want to become free from desire, please understand, desire is a dhara, flow, right? And any desire when it's fulfilled, your fear of losing. Any desire when it is obstructed, you mean anger. All these various emotions, modifications of desire. So basically when it says free from desire, fear, anger, means free from desire. How do you become free from desire? You have to be purified by knowledge. What knowledge is he talking about?
Atman.
Jnana tapasa. By the fire of knowledge. What is that? What is this jnana tapasa that he is talking about?
If you know who you really are, you identify with your true self, then you will not be lacking.
When you throw a ball, when you throw a cricket ball, if you keep the hand folded like this, the
ball very close to you, your shoulder, and throw. Can you really throw? When you extend your arm and then throw, then you can throw. Why am I giving this example? Desire, when you are closer to it, you can't control it. In the example, desire is the ball. Okay. The control you will not have when you throw, right? Control will come when there is gap. So, when do you really gain that control over desire? When you create a distance between you and the desire. So, basically, Vedanta says, when you watch your desire, you gain control over it. When you are closer to the desire, you don't gain control over it. So, gaining this knowledge from the scriptures, you have to watch your desires. While you are acting in the world, watching the desire becomes difficult. Therefore, before you plunge into acting, when you are sitting in meditation, you allow your desires, everything which naturally manifests, to manifest, but you are observing the thoughts, desires coming and going, then you see, my desires have come, good one has come, gone. Bad one has come, gone. All this comes and goes, I am somebody who, apart from this that comes and goes, watching it, thus I am freeing myself from desire. Are you me? No other way to free yourself from desire. Thus, when you do practice, and then when you get into action, to that extent you are able to be objective and to do the action. Slowly, slowly, even afterwards, while you are in the world only, you are still able to be objective. You always keep the desire and its object at a distance. You have separated yourself from the desire. Free from desire, fear and anger. Now the problem is this desire, fear and anger, I am considering it to be me. It is not within me, at the moment for me, it is me. I have to see that desire, fear and anger are there in me, I am not them. Only then I will become free from it. We will talk about it next week. A little more in detail.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.